We're back here on The Game. John, Tyler, Mitch, all with you. The Game KMAN on Twitter, 537-1350, to give us a call. Things may be a little more muddied with what the future of the basketball program is after a one-point win last night at TCU. Maybe in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. Let us know what you think. 537-1350 or The Game KMAN. I did get a chuckle, and I tweeted this last night. I'm watching the game, and it's like a 5-6 point game. An elimination game on the bubble is what ESPN has been building this thing up to be. Joe Lenardi says.
K-State's own March Madness.
Right. Well, that's what Bruce Weber had built it to the team.
Yeah.
But the ESPN broadcast have been pitching it the whole time. I mean, they're trying to get you interested and into it, and their pitch is this is a bubble elimination game. So it's an important game for both teams in their season. It's a game that's, you know, within striking distance either way, 5-point game or so. There's under 10 minutes to go in the game. So you're coming down to crunch time. And ESPN throws up the graphic when Isaiah Maurice is at the free throw line that he was born on April Fool's Day. I'm going to say, I mean, look, I'm not in New York, working in media. I'm not working at ESPN. I'm not working at CBS or something like that. I'm going to go ahead and use the producer part of my brain and say that that's not really relevant information that really fits the tone of what's going on at that point in time. Don't
it's
know
like,
how that gets on it, the TV screen.
It's like you're playing a football game in a dome, and so they give you the weather of the current conditions in Houston or something like that. If you're playing indoors with the roof closed at NRG Stadium. Why?
Yeah, but you know, sometimes you see, like if you go through a media guide, a lot of times there'll be like questionnaire of a player or something. I mean, you've got the information at your fingertips if you want it of what Curtis Kelly's, yeah. I can remember back in the day, Curtis Kelly got himself in trouble for listing what his favorite actress was or something in the media guide. I mean, you have that information. That doesn't mean it's relevant and something that adds to the broadcast that the people would want to know.
The only like birthday-related fact that would be interesting in that situation, since the game was on March 1st, was if he was a leap year baby and he was born on February 29th, which would be March 1st. That would interest me a little bit. But even then, I would want that graphic in the first half, probably, and not with 6 minutes to go in a very close and very important game.
And even then, I just don't find it relevant no matter when he was born. I don't. There is nothing that could make that significant to that point in the game.
What did you make of Dave Armstrong trying to sell getting the sixth seed in the Big 12 tournament as basically getting to the Sweet 16?
Like I don't remember that necessarily, but
it was just the way that his tone when he was talking about in a battle for the sixth seed in the Big 12, he was just selling it like it was way bigger.
Oh,
than
well,
what it actually
okay,
is.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. I thought you meant he literally said this would be as important.
No.
As a play-by-play guy, broadcaster, network, ESPN, when you're trying to you want to be selling to people what's important, what's at stake here. If you're a viewer that's just tuning in. This is a little bit of how the sausage is made, people. If you're a viewer that's just tuning in to a random game on ESPN, they want the guy that's doing the game to be consistently reinforcing, whether it's with the graphics that they have or their play-by-play guy, you got to consistently reinforce why this is important. Why should I care?
It can be overdone sometimes.
Sure, but you have to think about the general idea here is not K-State fan that's going to be watching the entirety of the game. They're not doing it for you. They're doing it for a casual fan that is the big deal to them so they can pull in bigger numbers. Casual fan that just happens to flip it on, whether he's flipping it on with 5 minutes left to go in the second half or 10 minutes to go in the first half, if he watches for a couple minutes, he's going to hear at some point why this game matters, why it's important. And you know what? It works to me every now and then. If I'm flipping around and I find a game and I'll hear, all right, this is for a league title, something like that. This is for this team's trying to get on the bubble, whatever. Because I don't always know about the teams. That's the goal of it. So I'm never going to say that they did anything like that too much, that they emphasized what's at stake too much. Because me, being a guy who does do games, I'm an aspiring play-by-play guy. It's my passion. It's what I love to do. That's the right way to do it. And that's what you're taught to do. That's what you want to do. It's smart business.
It's just very different when it's, like you just mentioned, if it's for a league title, I get it. But there were probably four or five different mentions of this is a huge game trying to get sixth place in the Big 12.
Well, see, I don't know how much people really care about this discussion. I would argue that makes it more important to reiterate that. If it's a conference championship, more people may be aware of it. It's a little bit easier to find that information. If you have to dig a little bit more for what's actually at stake, that to me is worth reinforcing even more. And it, yes, it might be a stretch to say, okay, is random person A, is Joe Smith going to really care that it's a battle for the sixth seed? But maybe not. Maybe not. But you want to at least put it out there for him to know. Because if he doesn't even know that and he just sees K-State and TCU, I mean, there's a less chance, less than zero chance, that he's going to be interested in the game potentially. So you just want to put it out there.
All right. All right.
And I actually, people don't like Dave Armstrong. I'm okay with Dave Armstrong.
I was just going to mention that. This is the opposite of the Joe Buck situation, because I do think that he gets a worse time from K-State fans than he probably should.
Well, I think people know about, you know, I mean, he's got Kansas ties, and I think people think of him as a Kansas guy.
Wow.
So he's got the wow thing, but yeah, I actually think he does a nice job. He knows the teams. He knows the area. He got to see Dean Wade put up 20-6 last night, one of the best Dean Wade games of the season. And in a lot of ways, I think Dean Wade is a pretty good microcosm of this team. You watch the way that he played last night, and I know everyone's reaction tends to be, well, why can't he do that every game? Why is that not there? Because Dean Wade is what he is right now. We've seen this for 2 years. We've done the song and dance of the peaks and valleys. Why isn't he being more aggressive? Then he'll have a game where he pops for 20, and he'll say in the post game, well, everyone's been after me. Tell me to shoot. Tell me to be more aggressive. So I did it. He's an inconsistent sophomore player right now. People always preach that he has NBA potential, and I would tend to think so. On the very, very high end for him, perhaps. I'm not a great judge of NBA talent, but uneducated looking at it, I could see why people would say that. But that's if he stays for 4 years and develops and turns into that. We're still less than halfway through his career. And while he's a nice player, a good player, he's a average to slightly above average power five type of player in terms of where he was in the recruiting rankings. And so when he comes in, he takes time to develop. And he's still a young guy, again, with the coaching staff that has not proven itself to be great at developing talent, so you would have to expect that he'll be up and down.
Well, again, I think that it's very similar to what I said about the team as a whole in the first segment. We have these, it seems like a lot of players, their highs and lows are a lot closer together than with Dean Wade, where on any given night he could score 0 to 20 points. I think a lot of K-State fans would prefer for him to always be between 10 and 16 points instead of between 0 and 20, just so at least you can know that he's going to be giving you something every time out.
Well, and he's another guy that in two seasons has dealt with injury issues.
Sure.
And that's not something necessarily that he can control. Maybe that will be a part of what he goes through. I mean, last year it was pneumonia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pneumonia, and he lost a bunch of weight. I mean, that can be a pretty debilitating thing. That's going to lead to some ups and downs this year. He had it was a foot issue, I believe, for him for a lot of the year. I mean, for a bigger guy, he's not like a big, big man that you consider in basketball, but he's a 6'9", 6'10", guy that plays the four. Those are tough on big men. Those are always the killer injuries when it's something with the foot. So that makes life more difficult for him. Still young in his career, still trying to find his way. So I understand why people think the way they do with that. I just think, much like with the team, when you go in and break down the numbers and start to pick everything apart and look at how it's all put together, you come to a conclusion of, yeah, okay, it's about what it is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm with you, and I think that Dean Wade probably is unfairly expected to be the superstar of the team sometimes. But again, it's not really my frustration so much as it is me seeing what's out there from everyone else. And a lot of people last night were like, man, I love seeing this from Dean Wade.
Oh, he's fun to watch when he's playing like that.
And if this were the Dean Wade that we saw 31 times, which, again, is not realistic to ask for any college student, whether they're a sophomore or a senior, but if that were the case, K-State would have a couple more wins under its belt probably.
Yeah, no, Dean's an interesting case. And if you wanted to try to tell me that some of his inconsistency, maybe he's a little more inconsistent because there's extra stuff heaped on him because of where he's from. He's a Kansas kid. He's from a small town in Kansas. That really plays well with this audience, with this fan base, and so therefore they see what he is and what he can do, and you just really are pulling for it.
They just want to fast forward through the, you know, the inconsistency and get to the part where on senior day he's going out as an All-American.
I'd buy that and listen to that because of his background, yes. There are more expectations than there should be, and that could weigh on a guy that we know, you know, mentally might be apt to having that type of thing weigh on him. We've seen it on our own show, man, how people treat Dean Wade differently. There was that stretch where we got like five calls about being too hard on Dean Wade. Look, I don't care what you say out there, anybody that's listening to this right now. We treat Dean Wade the same way we treat any other player. I mean, if we're knocking Barry Brown for going through a shooting slump, people aren't calling in to tell us that we're being too negative. We knock Dean Wade for going through a shooting slump, people call us because we're being too negative, because they see Dean Wade, small-town Kansas kid, they relate to him. That plays differently than Barry Brown, who comes from all across the country and, you know, from Florida, like Fort Lauderdale, wherever he's from in Florida. It makes you feel differently about the guy. Dean's a guy that the fan base rallies around more and people are more attached to, and they react one way or the other more than other guys.
You know, clearly I like K-State, but I wouldn't say that I am a huge fan of every individual K-State athlete just based on my interactions with them and everything like that. But I am a big fan of Dean Wade. I've talked to him a lot. I've talked to his family an awful lot. They're a great family, and I want him to do really well. I mean, I certainly do not say anything negative about him because I don't like the guy. He's got some development to do.
Absolutely. I like the guy,
like everybody does.
I like the team. I like the players on the team. I got no beef with any of the guys on the team. I think everybody knows after the cleaning of house that went down a couple of years ago. I mean, these are good, likable guys. Bottom line, though, is this is a bottom line business where the head coach is making $1.8 million and people are paying a lot of money for tickets, and it ain't just about being a nice guy, unfortunately. 5'10", Jerry Palm, CBS Sports Bracketologist, is going to join us here on the show. Is a win Saturday against Texas Tech enough for the Cats to get into the NCAA tournament? When we come back, though, the biggest news really of the day around here, it's something that certainly threw a wrench into today. This is The Game.